Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members.
Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Enviro Heating and Air, serving all brands of HVAC systems in Sonoma County and Marin County. And Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin for over 60 years. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' 108-100 win over the Oklahoma City Thunder on opening night at Oracle Arena, the ring ceremony taking place, and Steph Curry talked about that on Tuesday night.
I mean, it's special. I remember looking up there and there was only Philadelphia Warrior banners and, you know, the 74-75 team. So to come into Oracle every night, even at our practice facility, and look on the wall up in the rafters and see, you know, three championship banners that we brought back to the Bay, that's amazing. Kind of reminisce on the journey and those little moments. Obviously, we're still, you know, trying to go for more, and so it's really hard, I think, in terms of putting it all into perspective, but nights like tonight are where you really kind of sit back and just feel really proud about what we've accomplished.
That's Steph Curry. We'll get to the conversation at Oracle Arena in just a moment, but first, I wanted to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. At TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, not only do you get to play where the pros play, but you also get to play where Warriors play, like Klay Thompson, who hosted a tournament at TPC Harding Park over the summer.
Thompson Family Foundation Golf Tournament. That was so much fun. Shout out to TPC Harding Park for hosting us. I played great too, so that always helps. Just a fun day on the course for a great cause.
Well, Ray, the Warriors win their opener, unlike last year when they lost their opener, and it was a close game. I mean, actually, the Thunder stayed in this one throughout. They were down by 10 at the half, but they made it interesting there in the third. Certainly, Paul George got really hot in that quarter. The Warriors were ice cold from three most of the game. They missed 10 in a row from three-point land. That's pretty unheard of. But, you know, in the end, they pull out the victory, and there were some positive signs, right?
Oh, they were awful. I want a refund. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. We didn't pay. But, you know, I mean, they say when there's a new play in town, don't go opening night because they got to work out the kinks. They were working out some kinks tonight. But, of course, you want to go to opening night here because they had the ring ceremony and they unveiled the banners. And that's pretty heady stuff for a historically great team. I think we can say that now. This is a historically great team. And, you know, I mean, they came out the first half and they were workmanlike. They were committing a lot of turnovers that kept OKC in the game. Draymond had six, I think, in the first three quarters. They're trying to force a lot of the interior passes that OKC was getting to. So that was part of the problem. And then they were just ice cold from three. That's just not them. You're not going to see Klay go 5-for-20 for a game and 1-for-8 from three-point range, or Kevin Durant going 0-for-5 from three-point range. You're not going to see that in very many games. So all that combined, OKC stayed in the game. You give the Thunder credit, they came to play. They weren't backing down. I mean, they watched the ring ceremony and they said, okay, we're going to try to shock you. And they almost did. You know, they had a chance there in the last minute, and Schroeder airballed a three. That would have been a big shot right there. You know, I mean, it was not their A game, probably not even their B game, but it was good enough against a depleted OKC squad.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've got to give the Thunder credit, too, without Russell Westbrook, their star player, to be in this game, hanging in there. I mean, they're bonding together. And, you know, Paul George looked really good. Like I said, he was on fire in the third quarter, ended up really helping his team stay in the game. You know, Adams had a really good game as well. But, you know, in the end, the Warriors, even though they didn't move the ball maybe the way they would like, they got some different contributions. You know, I especially like the way Damian Jones played. I mean, here he is, this young guy getting a start on opening night. He was aggressive. You know, he went after some rebounds, had some dunks, and just looks pretty comfortable out there.
Yeah, I think he's taken some big strides, and, you know, this is going to be one of the intrigues for the Warriors early on in the season as you look for things to ask about and to kind of speculate with a team that's so good, and that's going to be the battle of the three young centers before DeMarcus Cousins comes back. And Damian Jones, I think, overall played really well. He was 6-for-7 from the floor. A couple of defensive assignments missed here and there. couple of spacing issues, which is not a surprise. And I think that contributed to the poor ball movement that the Warriors had. And it wasn't just Damian Jones, but Jones played well. Looney played real well, made a big bucket late, had 10 points and 10 rebounds. And, you know, Jordan Bell didn't play that much tonight, but you know we're going to see him as well. So that's going to be one of the questions going early on. Who gets the upper hand in the center battle? And when DeMarcus Cousins comes back, how's that rotation going to look? So it was kind of fun to see that, and certainly a great thrill for Damian Jones to start on opening night, on the night that they hand out rings and unveil the banner. Paul George was 1-for-8 at the half. That caught my attention on the score sheet. I said, well, that's a problem, because you know he's going to start getting hot, and sure enough, he did in the third quarter, and that's definitely one of the things that kept him in the game. I mean, we were all waiting for the trademark third quarter run from the Warriors, right? That's when they dominated last year. I think they had a point differential of over 300 in the third quarter alone. It's insane how good they were in the third quarter. Didn't come tonight. Well, the run came, but it was OKC. They started out 22-9 to start the second half. And so I said, okay, this is good. This is going to be a game. And it was.
Let's hear what Warriors head coach Steve Kerr had to say about what happened in the third quarter.
They caught fire, 22 points in the first 5 minutes. We weren't ready to play, and fortunately we came back and took care of business, but we're not in shape yet. I don't think that's going out on a limb. People were tired out there on both teams, I thought. So this is how it goes first game.
That's Warriors head coach Steve Kerr. Dubs OT continues right after this.
Hi, I'm Mark McElhone at Kane's Tire in Santa Fe. If you want the lowest prices in Marin and the best service, call us at 453-2942. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street, where our prices beat Costco's prices every time.
Let's talk about Draymond Green a little bit. You know, he didn't get a lot of playing time in the preseason. The knee, he was icing his knee every time out. When, you know, every time he was on the bench, he was icing it. So, you know, it's been bothering him. And, you know, he didn't take any threes. What did he take? 1 3-pointer. So I don't think he's comfortable really shooting the ball right now. He was distributing pretty well, but I don't know that he's really in game shape. He was kind of just gutting it out there tonight, it seemed like.
Yeah. I don't think he was able to get up quite to speed in the preseason. I mean, it'll happen, but this is a guy that you got to watch throughout a long campaign. He's played so hard for this club to get Defensive Player of the Year and last year second team defense, which I guess he's pretty disappointed about. And so his style of play and all the games they've played, there's been some wear and tear with this guy. And it was evident last year with his shoulder, and he couldn't get any arc on his three-point shots. You know, he made a couple of big ones in the finals, but by and large, he was not a threat. Now, the good thing for him is when Cousins comes back, I mean, that's a guy that will take some of those three-point shots. They won't need Draymond to take them. They'll definitely leave Draymond alone. We know that. They're doing it now. But, it's not vintage Draymond. It's not 100% Draymond, but he's been through this battle before, and they've been through it with him. So this is one of the guys you're going to have to monitor and be careful with minutes for, as with Iguodala, as with Sean Livingston. But those guys are older, right? They're in the 30s. Draymond's not there yet, but he's had a lot of mileage on the odometer.
Yeah, Iguodala played 10 minutes, and I was telling you before we started the podcast that it didn't seem like he even played that many. He really wasn't involved as much as Livingston, who played 15 minutes, scored 6 points, and just seemed to be more into the flow of it. And Livingston was the guy who we didn't know was going to play. He had the foot issue, but he played. And even Steph Curry, there was some talk about, you know, how he might not play, that he tweaked something, and it was kind of mysterious, but he was fine. I mean, I guess maybe there was just, you know, much ado about nothing there.
Well, there was a big scare at the end of the game with Kevin Durant.
Right.
Yeah. And the way he fell, I thought first it was his hip or something like that. And I guess there might be a wrist issue. It's one of those things where you look at it's going to hurt him tomorrow. Yeah, whether it means it's going to affect his availability down the road, I would think if there's any issue at all, they're going to play it safe with him this early in the season because it's a long campaign. The Kevin Durant is going to be one of the storylines of this season because everybody's going to be talking about what he does next summer. And the Warriors are like, wait a minute. You know, we've got one more year in this old barn that I'm going to miss at Oracle Arena. We've got this historic run going. Let's just enjoy this now. We'll talk about the rest later. But it's going to be in the back of everybody's mind.
Yeah, you definitely hold your breath anytime one of the star players, the all-star players, you know, goes down and winces. And to me, I mean, at first I thought, man, this could be serious. You just could see on his face that he was in pain, and it was his right wrist. But then he shot some free throws after that, mm-hmm. and he seemed to be fine. But you just wonder, after this, you know, tonight, will that swell up? What was the injury? We just don't know right now.
Yeah, we're waiting to hear about that. I'd imagine if there's something with the wrist, they'll ice it up and have a look at it tomorrow. But again, we're waiting to hear details about that. We're just going by what we saw, and just knowing the nature of these injuries, yeah, it's probably going to hurt a little bit tomorrow. Wouldn't be surprising.
Getting back to the arena, yeah, this is the last opener at Oracle Arena, moving over to San Francisco next year. So there's kind of a weird feeling about it, as Steve Kerr has described it as being bittersweet. I mean, Steve has gone out of his way to talk about how great the fans have been here over the years, even during the years where this team wasn't winning at all. So it is kind of sad for a lot of the fans that have come here for so long that this team is going to leave. So there's sort of that feeling and a feeling of, you know, let's celebrate this while we can.
Yeah, I think that's everybody's got to have that perspective this year, because I think everybody knows things could change in the offseason. I mean, I'm not going to put money on anything at this point. I don't know what Durant's going to be thinking, what Klay Thompson's going to be thinking. Klay Thompson said at the media day was, you know, he wants to make it work to stay here as long as he can. But we've heard players say that before. Of course, why would you want to change from this situation? It's been so great. And, you know, as opposed to, for example, Shaq and Kobe, they couldn't get along, and that destroyed what could have, you know, was still a very one of the great teams in NBA history, but could have been even greater. Maybe that's instructive for these guys. And as far as the money, you know, Bob Myers and the Warriors always figure out a way. Right? This is going to be the ultimate tester, but you know, that's something that you just worry about next summer. In the meantime, you've got a chance to get your fourth title in 5 years. It just doesn't happen very often in the NBA, so savor this. And I think the players, each and every one of them, they spoke in media day. That's exactly what they were talking about. Will they be able to do it? Will they be able to, you know, fight off the boredom or whatever it is? We'll see. They did it last year. Last year was kind of an anomaly, though, because of the travel to China and all that. It was an extra long season. I think they've come back mentally refreshed this year.
Yeah, you know, you think about the message that Steve Kerr was sending to his team before the season even started, this whole theme about how let's enjoy the ride. And right. I don't know if that's going to be easy to do. I mean, you still have to stay motivated even if you are enjoying it. But to me, you can stay motivated by the fact that every team that you play is coming after you hard. I mean, look, for Oklahoma City, even without Westbrook, I think they stayed in this game on pure emotion for them. I mean, they're figuring, hey, we're playing the champs. We're going to give it our best effort. They're always going to see their best effort from the other teams.
No, I think if you're Billy Donovan, you have to be happy with the effort from this team tonight, from the Thunder, without Russell Westbrook. And, you know, Russell Westbrook, how many knee surgeries has he had in the last five years? You know, and this is another guy, his style of play. He goes all out. Make sure he fills the stat sheet, but he goes all out. He gobbles up a lot of those shots, but he's one of the premier players in the league. But, he's one of those guys, I think, you can figure out a way to get by without him for a little while, and they're going to have to. And, I like Schroeder. Adams is always a force in the middle. Paul George is one of the best players in the league. And, by the way, I don't know why I think this, but I just see Schroeder as a Warrior down the road. I don't know why. He's just one of those guys that you feel like eventually he's pesky, you know. But he's been a pretty good player in this league. I wouldn't be surprised down the road if he's somebody as a veteran off the bench that catches the Warriors' attention. Anyway, they got some guys, you know. They're not going to be a pushover. They came to play tonight, like I said, and the Warriors helped them a little bit too.
There were a couple of comments on the TNT broadcast that I wanted to throw at you, Ray, from Chris Weber. One of them was that he thought the bench isn't as good as last year. You see David West sitting there. He got his ring. He's not there anymore. You know, it's a different bench. Patrick McCaw hasn't signed with the Warriors. So you've got some different players in there that are coming off the bench. I mean, you've got some of the guys that are the same, but you do have some guys that are different. He felt like, you know, he made the statement on the air that this bench isn't as deep. It's not as good. Who knows as you go through the season? What do you think so far, just looking at it going into the season as far as the bench?
Well, you'll see what Quinn Cook can do with more playing time, for one thing, and he might be able to fill some of that void. We don't know about Jacob Evans yet, but here comes McKinney, Jarebko, you know, who has had some ups and downs in the preseason, but he's just getting into the flow too. So I don't know if you can make that statement right now. Okay, yeah, I'd agree with that. But is it going to be that bad? Well, number one, Cousins coming back. That kind of moves things around a little bit. And then you got some more depth with that guy around. But about Patrick McCaw, what are you doing? What the heck are you doing? Because you're blowing a golden opportunity here. Yeah. I mean, I'll hold out for the possibility that there's something we don't know about in his situation that causes him to not work with the only team that's making an offer for him right now. Okay? Where else are you going to go? And why else would you want to go somewhere else? I mean, okay, you're not going to get as much playing time as you might in another situation, but nobody else is knocking on your door right now. And this is, again, a historically great franchise. What happened there? What went wrong? You know, if I had to give him advice, and it sounds like to me he's getting really, as Charles Barkley would say, terrible advice. I said, what's up? What's the problem here? Because, you know, if it's money after 2 years, well, you know, second year, unfortunately for him, he had a real scary injury in Sacramento that kind of set his season back. But that's the way it is. And they're ready to move on without him. And his teammates have supported him up to a point. But eventually that wears out, too, if you don't come correct. And so they're all wondering, where the heck is he? But after a while, they're going to stop wondering.
He should go have lunch with, now I'm just testing my memory here, was it Jody Reed, the infielder? Remember the infielder with the Dodgers? And he turned down a bunch of money, and then he just didn't sign anywhere. He, like, lost.
Jody Reed.
Was it Jody Reed? I think it was Jody Reed.
He played for the Red Sox, too, I think, didn't he?
Anyway, he blew it. And, you know, there have been players, you know, in history of sports that have done that where they – and my phone's ringing. The people have done
– dial.
Yeah, yeah. Players have done that where they're just – turning down big dollars because they think they can get something better. And here you are in the greatest situation that you could possibly have in sports, basically, and you're turning it down.
Yeah, I don't get it. And I think that's kind of the phrase a lot of people with the Warriors are using. I don't get it. I don't know what's going on here. But, you know, I said it a month ago, you know, when we were doing our first dry run of the podcast, my advice to you would be to sign and figure out the rest later. I mean, if it means you take a little less than you thought you could get this year, well, you're not getting anything from anybody else anyway. Get it done before the deadline. Well, that didn't happen. So he's kind of out there in limbo right now. And I just hope he has an epiphany and he gets back here soon. Because, again, that sell-by date is approaching.
One other thing that Chris Webber said on the telecast, it was about Klay Thompson. He said that it seemed to him like Klay was looking to take more shots off the dribble. I don't know that I noticed it that much. He was definitely firing up some shots, and he was mad at himself for missing some of those threes. He was 1 for 8. Some of them seemed to go in and out, and he just maybe didn't have his rhythm. But I do wonder, maybe he is looking more for some shots off the dribble, which, you know, that's not a bad thing. He's been a lot of more of a spot-up shooter, but he can create as well.
He can, and he's a very good passer. He's a much-improved passer on top of that. So he can create off of doing whatever he has to do off the dribble. Now, I've always felt, because of his height at 6'7", he can get to the elbow. He can get to the free-throw line and get his shot. I think he knows that. But I think for him, he's now trying to round out his game. You know, and all players try to do this. They try to add to their game. And for him, the one thing that he's not known for is taking somebody off the dribble and creating and getting his own shot. But because of his size advantage with a lot of guys, I don't mind him working on that. You know, he didn't drain them tonight. But like you said, a few of them were in and out. You know, from three-point range, he's going to be a spot-up guy. He's not going to be like Steph, who can create, but, you know, in a lot of different ways, not only from the three-point line, but heading to the hoop, and Steph has become an elite finisher. But I think what Clay's trying to do is expand his game a little bit more year after year after year and to be that complete player. He's almost there. I mean, he's one of the amazing guys on the Warriors. I mean, he hasn't gotten hurt very much in his career, and yet he plays so hard at both ends of the floor. He does so much, and so much is asked of him to take on the top scorer on the other team and still be that knockdown shooter. You've got to have the legs all season long to do that. He's an amazingly conditioned athlete. So I think that would be my guess of what he's trying to do, expand his game a little bit and maybe take a few more shots off the dribble. I didn't see a whole lot of bad shots, poor decisions as far as the shot selection for Klay. They just didn't fall.
Speaking of conditioning, okay, the first road trip, takes the Warriors to Salt Lake, and that team's tough. You know, they're well coached. And then Denver, which you got to be in shape by that game, because if you're not, you're really going to be sucking air in Denver. So it should be an interesting next couple of games for the Warriors.
Well, when I was working covering the Jazz in the 1980s, when Malone and Stockton just got there, the NBA schedule makers used to stick it to teams going on the road. They do the Salt Lake City-Denver combo. And by the end of that, I mean, everybody had an oxygen tank in the plane heading home. It is not that easy. I remember Tom Tolbert telling me about some games up there, just wild high-scoring games, but the problem is the pace was frenetic. And, I mean, you are literally sucking wind after 5 minutes. You know, Utah, where they play, it's 4,000-foot elevation. Denver, it's a mile high. So both are pretty rough. But I think that Utah is going to be a very tough team this year. I think it's one of the teams that's looking to really make a move in the West. And it's a good little test early on for the Warriors. Denver's an up-and-coming team, too. But I look at all these teams, and I know the NBA is trying to promote, like, the Celtics, the Lakers, so forth, the Rockets. And they're all going to be good teams, but I just still don't see any of them getting near the Warriors if the Warriors are right.
All right, and to finish up, you know, the highlight, of course, of the night really is before the game when you get the rings. And for me, hearing Steve Kerr say holy mackerel when he got his ring, you know, something that aired on Turner tonight, I thought that was really cool. And the rings are interesting. They're unique because you can open them up. I mean, you can twist it, and I don't know what you put in there, but and you better not lose it because God knows how much these rings are worth, but they're definitely unique.
Well, it's a good thing it's not New York in the 70s. Let's put it that way. You got a lot of things you could put in that ring. I'll clean it up for the podcast, and it would be a Cracker Jack prize now, I suppose, you know, a Dakota ring or whatever. But it's an interesting concept, I'll say that, you know. They're beautiful rings, and, you know, these teams are going all out now for the design of these rings. I used to do Sabercat football games in the Arena Football League, and they won a few titles. And their rings were legendary. I mean, they went all out. I mean, seriously, some of the best championship rings in sports they gave out to these guys. And I don't know, they were probably 25K, 30K. These championship rings go up to 50,000, I think, now. They're incredible, incredible works of art. But I'm sure there are going to be a lot of creative uses for that. For that ring, let's put it that way.
Well, I was surprised Steph Curry actually loaned his to Kristen Ledlow so she could show it on television. That was really nice of him. I mean, she could have just waltzed out of here. No, she even joked about that. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, no, that's a great little bit. I saw that on TV. Even though I didn't hear her, I was still kind of red lips and saw she was trying to do those. That was a pretty funny bit. You know, Steph's got a bunch of those. I don't, is he going to miss one? Well, probably he will. But you know, they're looking for one more in this arena before they move over across the bay. And there are going to be a lot of emotions about that. And if you follow this team for a long time, if you're from Oakland or the East Bay and you've come here to this arena, it's going to be bittersweet. There's no doubt about that. The next time, if they win, the next time there's going to be a ring ceremony and a banner being unfurled will be across the water at the Chase Center. It's going to be weird for a lot of fans, I imagine. But at the same time, exciting for the players. But for a guy like Steph, who's been here, you know, his whole career, now he's going on 10 years, it's got to be really weird, you know?
Absolutely. Ray, thanks a lot. Fun opening night. We'll talk again next week.
All right. Hope to do better next time. Actually, you know, I think for our opener, we weren't that bad. It wasn't like the opening out of the play. I detected no kinks whatsoever.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.